By the way, I'd like to welcome our visitors this morning. If this is the first time you've been here, God bless you. Our desire is that you feel God's presence and that He touches your heart and that you feel blessed and filled and revived today as the Holy Spirit works and moves in this place. And so welcome. Amen. Louis, after the service, remind me, I got to remind you of something too. I'll forget, so I know you won't forget, so remind me something. Something somebody wants Louis to do. Amen. Today I want to talk about the kingdom of God a little bit. And hopefully kind of open our eyes to more of His kingdom. Maybe help us understand it a little more. Help us maybe understand a little bit more about our own lives. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 says, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" In Matthew 4, 17, that was John the Baptist in Matthew 3 there. But then in Matthew 4, Jesus begins to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Father, I thank you for your word, and I pray now that as we look at your word, Lord, that you use it to speak to our hearts and to change our lives. God, bless it. Holy Spirit, as we have already invited you to come, use the sword of the Spirit to teach us today and to draw us closer to the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen." And so here we have John the Baptist and we have Jesus both saying the same thing. Where's my clicker? Please forgive me if I seem a little foggy today, because the truth is I'm a little foggy today. Between the allergy medicine and the cold medicine and the coffee, I've really got it going. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." I want to show you Mark chapter 1, verse 14 through 15. Jesus, again, this is after John was put in prison. Jesus came to Galilee, and he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." Now, both Mark and Matthew talk about the same account where John the Baptist has been put in prison and now Jesus is starting his ministry. And the first thing he starts to say is, Matthew records, he says that Jesus starts preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Mark says that Jesus was preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Now, you can look at that and say, well, you know, there's not much difference in that. And I would agree, there's not a lot of difference in that. But I really think that we need to grasp hold of what the kingdom of God is all about. And hopefully today we can kind of get a better understanding about the kingdom of God. Have you ever wondered or pondered the idea, you know, when it says repent, the kingdom of God is at hand, what's it really talking about? Now, we understand that if we would repent of our sins and turn to the Lord, that yeah, we'll be saved. In that when we die, we will go to heaven. But he says the kingdom of God is at hand. How many of us are in heaven right now? None of us. We're all still here. But Jesus wanted us to understand that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. It's here. It's now. And so we need to be living and walking and going through this life with the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God active in our lives. How many of you like the kingdom of God active in your life, right? And so I want to talk real quickly. And by the way, for those of you who know me, I've got 2 pages of notes, so you know we're going to get done early. Usually if I have one verse or half a page or 1 page, it takes me an hour and a half to get through it. But when I have 2 pages, I get done in like 10 minutes. So You guys are going to be able to enjoy your 4th of July holiday. You want me to take, you want me to take my time so the kids have more time studying honesty, all right. Not sure if maybe the teens should have went down with them today. I want us to understand what these verses are talking about. Repentance and the kingdom of God. And so first I want to look at the word repent. The word repent very simply means this: to change one's mind. To change one's mind. It says to change one's mind for better, heartily, to amend with abhorrence of one's past sins. Amend with abhorrence of one's past sins. In other words, you know, change the way that you think pertaining to the sin in your life. You know, we should be those that are such that when we realize, you know what, there's sin in our lives, that we should abhor it, or we should just detest it. We don't want to have anything to do with sin in our life. And really what it is, it's a mindset that what I'm doing is wrong, and I must now stop doing that which is wrong and start doing that which is right. That's what repentance is all about. How many of us, you know, I know far too many. All right, I won't go there yet. I'm going to go there later. Repentance is important. 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 Some of you guys are thinking you might change your mind about which church you're going to attend. That guy can't even talk. So repentance is just simply a change of mind. A change of mind about who I am today, what I do today, what I think today, what I say today. Thinking about it. And changing that which is not good and turning toward that which is good. And so what the implied message of this verse is the implied message, if we don't repent, which is change our thinking about our sin, then we're going to miss the kingdom of heaven, or that we're going to miss the kingdom of God. Nobody wants to miss the kingdom of God. So how important is repentance? It's very important. I find it really interesting, and I'm so blessed, I'm so happy, you know, that lately I am finding more and more people who, again, I've said this before, don't know anything about God, don't know anything about church, never read the Bible, but they're feeling this drawing to come to God. And one of the first things they need to understand is, hey, you know what? That is God drawing you. He loves you, and he's drawing you. And you have interest in the kingdom of God, just like anyone. And I believe God puts that in all of us. You know, all these religions in the world, and you could, doesn't matter which one you pick, I believe they all stem from the same thing. I believe they all stem from the idea that every living soul has a yearning for the kingdom of God. And so we need to understand repentance, because we do not want to miss the kingdom of God, which means there are some of our thinking needs to change. And so, what is the kingdom of God? What is it? Can you describe it? Can you put a finger on it? Can you identify it and give it definition? Well, in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, I believe Paul did. He said, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. And what he's talking about there is, he was talking about not putting stumbling blocks in front of people, and if somebody's eating something that you don't think they should eat, leave them alone, let them eat it. Or if somebody's not eating something that you think that they should be eating, leave them alone and don't make them eat it. But rather, mind your own business, because the kingdom of God is not about the things of this world. It's not about meat and drink, but this is what it is. It's about righteousness, it's about peace, and it's about joy in the Holy Ghost. This is the kingdom of God. How many of us get too caught up with the things of the world? How many of us get too caught up with the idea that other people that we hang out with are too caught up with the things of the world? Well, did you, sister so-and-so, went and had lunch at that bar? Oh, pastor so-and-so went over to that place where there was this big party going on and they were doing all this stuff. Well, you know what? Don't worry about Sister so-and-so and Pastor so-and-so. Worry about yourself. What are you doing? Are you living a life of righteousness? Are you living a life of peace? And are you living a life that's full of joy in the Holy Ghost? And I want to talk about those things real quick. I want to look at the word righteousness because, we want to understand what is the kingdom of God, because that's what we're all longing for. That's what we're all yearning for. And so when Paul says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, righteousness is this. And I've got these definitions from the Strong, and I could give you, you know, the Hebrew pronunciation of the actual word that was used and all that, but I don't like doing that stuff. You don't understand it anyway. You're not going to remember that anyway. Neither am I. And so we're just going to talk about the word righteousness and what actually the literal meaning of the word that was used for righteousness in this verse. It says, in a broad sense, it's a state of him who is as he ought to be. Righteousness, the condition acceptable to God. That's what righteousness is. Is your life in the condition that is acceptable to God? If it is, then you are a righteous person. The doctrine concerning the way in which a man may attain a state approved of God. How many of us want to live our lives in such a way that that God approves it? Right? I hope we all do. I want to be approved, not by man. I want to be approved by God. Integrity, virtue, purity of life, rightness, correctness of thinking. Do you see that? Correctness of thinking. Again, going back to the word repentance, changing our minds, correctness of thinking and feeling and acting. That is a very interesting definition of righteousness, having a correct way to think, having a correct way to feel, and having a correct way to act. You know, all of those things matter. And when we don't think right in a situation, we're off. We need to repent. And when we don't feel right in a situation, then we need to repent. And when we don't act right in a situation, we need to repent and get it correct. How many of us let our feelings dictate whether or not we are going to be approved by God or not? Think about that for a moment. You step out of righteousness when you allow your feelings to cause you to hate somebody. You step out of righteousness when you allow your feelings to dictate whether or not you're going to have a good day. When you allow your feelings to rule you and control you and drive you to emotions and attitudes and all sorts of things. Feelings can really mess us up, because a lot of times what our thinking and what our feelings do causes us to act. And when we act inappropriately, again, we need to repent. We need to change the way that we think and have right thinking, correctness of thinking. And then it says, a narrower sense there, justice, or the virtue which gives each his due. I like justice. Do you like justice? Yes. And so that's righteousness. And so just that alone, thinking about our lives, you know, we have... In Celebrate Recovery, we're always talking about self-examination. You know, when we realize that we're wrong, promptly admit it. You know, those kinds of things. Making sure that we are living right before God. And how do we live right before God? By making sure our thinking is correct. Making sure that our actions and our feelings are correct. That there's integrity and virtue and purity. And that the things that we say and do and feel are all approved of God. Think about this morning. I mean, just take feelings for an instance, for an example. Are my feelings today something that is approved by God? That's a good question to ask ourselves. When we do a self-examination, are my thoughts today, would they be approved of God? Are my feelings, would they be approved of God? Are my actions, would they be approved of God? If they are, then I'm living in accordance and in line with the kingdom of God, which is here and now. Okay, let's move on. Peace. Because the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Peace is a state of national tranquility. My sister finds extra joy in that after what we found last the other day. Little Elmer Fudd joke there. Exemption from the rage and havoc of war. And you know what? I think you could also change that word war. Exemption from the rage and havoc of life. Life a lot of times has a lot of rage and havoc in it, doesn't it? And so where is the peace in that? Peace between individuals, which is harmony and concord. Harmony. Are you at harmony with every other living individual on earth? Could you imagine that if every believer, or person who claims to be righteous or claims to have peace, if they live at harmony with every other individual that walks on the face of the earth? Now that's a peaceful place. Who are we? Are we walking in are we living in the kingdom of God? Are we functioning in the kingdom of God in that we are at peace? There's a verse that talks about having peace with all men. To be at peace with all men. And then it says there, security, safety, prosperity, and then the word felicity comes up. And I had to look up the different definition for the word felicity. That's a tough one. Felicity. Because I didn't know what it was. I look it up, and you know what I find? Here's a definition. Intense happiness and the ability to find appropriate expression of one's thoughts. That's what peace is. When you experience an intense happiness and you have the ability to find appropriate expression of one's thoughts. What does that mean? It means you know how to repent. You know how to make sure your mindset is correct in front of God. And then it talks about the Messiah's peace and the way that leads to peace, which is salvation. How many found that when you got saved, that there was just this peace that swept over your soul? I hope you had a similar experience like that. I had somebody recently said, you know, and this, how many of us have heard this? You know, it's like, wow, after they accept Christ, it's like, I just feel like this weight's just lifted. I have this warm feeling in me. You know why? Because when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you finally say, you know what, I'm going to put my faith and trust in Him, peace comes. His peace comes. Why? Because you have changed your mind. You have repented of your sin. And now you are walking in the kingdom of God. And in that moment, you have peace. And so again, the kingdom of God, righteousness and peace, and also, peace continued. There's more to peace. The definition, it's a long definition of Christianity, the tranquil state of a soul, assured of its salvation through Christ. You know, when you have somebody who is just, you know that you're saved, it is hard not to have peace in that. There's peace. Doesn't matter what anybody thinks, what anybody says, I'm saved. I know if something happens to me, I'm going to see Jesus. I know where I'm going. There's peace in that. Assured of salvation through Christ and so fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot of whatsoever sort that is, and the blessed state of devout and upright men after death. That's talking about peace. Those of you who have lost loved ones, those who have gone to be with the Lord, they're at peace. And that should give us assurance and hope and rest in our own minds, knowing that those who've gone to be with Jesus are at peace. Okay, joy, I think. Yes, joy. The word joy means gladness, the joy received from you, the cause or occasion of joy of persons who are one's joy. Joy. You ever notice how wonderful it is when you get in the presence of somebody who's full of joy? Isn't that a beautiful thing? How many know that that's how God wants us to be? He wants us to live and walk and act in His kingdom, in the kingdom of God, which means He wants us to be full of joy. He said in Romans 14:17, He said, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. All right, where am I? Enjoy in the Holy Ghost. I had another verse. But it's not there. Oh, wait, maybe it's on the next page. I don't know. But joy. All right, let's just take a look at this. The kingdom of God. So what I want to do, I want to take another look because I want us to understand the kingdom of God. Okay? So I rewrote, and some are going to say, oh, you're messing with the scripture. Well, okay, just roll with me for a few minutes. Romans 14:17, Paul tells Romans, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. If you were to rewrite that verse in such a way that you would understand what the kingdom of God is, what he's saying there, Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so what I'm trying to help you understand and to establish in your minds is, you know what? The kingdom of God is here and it's now. Jesus said it's at hand, and this is what it is. It's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. The three things that we just tried to identify there. And then those things come from true repentance. True repentance. What do I got going on here? Okay. Let's look at, as long as I'm, my notes are not following my slides. I think my slides are better. Let's look at this other verse in Mark 1 where it says, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Now, if you were to take what we just established as the meaning of, or what the kingdom of God really is, and write it into that verse, Mark 1:14, it says, now after Jesus was put in prison, or John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, or of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what the kingdom of God is, according to Paul. And saying, the time is fulfilled, and righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost is at hand. And so repent and believe the gospel. And so now, I think I know what the next slide is. Yes, true repentance is just that. It's a change of mind. And what it does is it produces righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what repentance should produce in your life. It should be more than just, you know what, I used to do this and now I don't do that anymore. I mean, that is included. Before I got saved, I used to drink alcohol. Now that I'm saved, I don't do that anymore. Some people, you know, before you were saved, you fill in the blank. Before I was saved, I did this. Now that I'm saved, I don't do that anymore. But you know what? It's more than that. More than just stopping things that aren't good in our life, but it's adding things that are good in our life. Righteousness, peace, and joy. So true repentance produces righteousness, peace, and joy. And so here, it's time for us to really think about our own lives. Do we have righteousness, peace, and joy in our lives? Do we have the kingdom of God really working in our lives? Or are we actually cooperating with the kingdom of God in our lives? Proper thinking. You know, true repentance is a change of mind which produces righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, which means proper thinking produces righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. If we're not experiencing righteousness and peace and joy in our lives, I really want to encourage you to think about what you're thinking. Because true repentance is really all about changing your mind. I'm going to talk just for a moment about the joy in the Holy Ghost. John chapter 14, verse 26 says, "The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you." Jesus told us, and that's just one verse, there's several, where Jesus told us that, you know what? The Holy Spirit is going to come, he's going to fill you. And if you don't feel that indwelling of the Holy Spirit, I want to encourage you to do what they did in the early church and ask somebody to pray for you. Hey, you know what? I want that Holy Ghost thing in me. Would you pray for me that Holy Ghost would come inside me? Why? Because you want that joy in the Holy Ghost. It's in the Holy Ghost. It's in God's work in you. It's in God's kingdom working in you that you really get the fullness of the blessings of the righteousness and the peace and the joy. And so I believe that's why he added that in there when he says righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, in my experience, maybe in yours, maybe you've seen this. Maybe you recognize this. Maybe you recognize it in your own life, as I recognize it in my life at times. But there are far too many believers that are lacking in righteousness and peace and joy. Far too many believers that are not experiencing God's kingdom in the way that God would like us to experience his kingdom. When you get in the room with that person who is actively living and demonstrating God's kingdom, isn't it a wonderful place to be? Isn't that a wonderful person to be with? I want to be that person. I hope you want to be that person. But in order for me to do that, in order for you to do that, this is what I think it takes. If you're lacking in righteousness, then we need to change the way we're thinking and what we're doing. Jesus said, repent, which means change your mind, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, righteousness, peace, and joy. And so if we're lacking righteousness, we need to change the way we think about what we do. You know what? This thing in my life, this thing that I do, is not approved of God. And therefore, I have to change the way I think about it so that I don't do it anymore. Unfortunately, we find joy in a lot of the activities that we do that are not pleasing to God rather than finding joy in the Holy Ghost, which means we need to repent. And again, you know, when we read that verse, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, or the kingdom of God is at hand, the first thing that comes to mind, well, you know, sinners, they're the lost, they need to repent. Well, what about those that are saved? What about those that are believers who've been following the Lord for years and years and years? We still have stuff in our lives that shouldn't be there. And we still need to repent. If you lack peace, change the way you think about the circumstances around you. Try to understand. You know, we sang that song this morning, the Ocean song. And believe me, as we were going through worship, I'm like, wow, I could preach that today. Oh, no, I could preach that today. Each song just had something going on in it that's like, when you find stuff that's going around you, you know what? God wants you to have peace in everything. And when we get to that place in our life, when we realize that those waves are there for a reason, they're there for a purpose, the struggle that we're going through, the trial that is very difficult, it's meant to build you up. It's meant to give you strength. It's meant to help you build faith. What does it say in that song? Lead me where my trust is without borders. In other words, whatever happens to me, God, and then the next song we sing, I will trust in you. And it says, lead me. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. And when we sang that line, the first thing that came to my mind, I'm thinking, wow. Do you understand where you've been called? Do you feel God's call in your life? You should. Because he's got a call on your life. And you might say, well, Pastor, you know, he hasn't really called me. I can't do what you do. I can't do what, you know, people that sing on a worship team do. I can't do what the Sunday school leaders do. Why not? Why can't you? Are you hearing the call? Has God called you to provide water for people that don't have water? Has God called you to travel to Honduras or other places of the world where you can go and share the gospel? Or it, maybe it's like, well, I don't know if I'm even called to go share the gospel. How about you just go and you help pour a concrete floor somewhere? Or you go and you help somebody who's sick and needy? Are you understanding there's a call on your life? Are you answering that call? That my faith will be made stronger. How many want stronger faith? And so, let me get back to where I kind of went off on a little tangent there. Hope you enjoyed that. If you're lacking in peace, think about the situation that's around you. Sometimes it's like a flood just pours over your soul. It's like, oh, God, really? This? Again? Still? Or something brand new. It's like, wow, really? I just got through this mess, and now I got this mess? And God says, yeah, and you know what? I want you to have peace in that too. I want you to learn who I am. I want you to learn how to trust me. I want you to learn how to have faith and have all that built up and have peace, even in the midst of this storm. That's walking in the kingdom of God. That's living in the kingdom of God. When you have peace, no matter what. And it's hard. I mean, we already spoke about Gloria this morning, losing two family members within 2 weeks. I pray to God that she has peace in her life. That she's able to draw on Jesus. And even in the midst of that storm, and trust me, it is a storm for her. And many of us, we've experienced much of the same thing. There's 1 year, my family lost four. My sister and I lost four of our aunts and uncles all in the same year. It was, wow.
In 4 months?
It was fast. Yeah, it was a year. It was a wow. Maybe that's why he calls it peace that passes understanding. He says, like, you know what? You got all this stuff going on, but yet you have peace. Isn't that awesome? That's living in God's kingdom. That's how, when the kingdom of God is active in your life. Again, if you are lacking joy, then change your thinking on where joy comes from. Joy doesn't come from all these circumstances in the world. It doesn't come from all the trials. Although if you understand how God is using the trial, you might find joy even in that. But joy comes from the Lord. Joy in the Holy Ghost. And so what we're talking about here is repentance is about turning your thoughts and your actions away from the world and towards God, which produces righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And that is all about the kingdom of God. Are you living in the kingdom of God today? Do you have righteousness? Do you have peace? And do you have joy? If not, maybe there's some repentance that needs to be done. And you know, I'm not one that's so spiritual and so religious that I don't recognize there are times when I need to do some repenting in my own life, when my mind needs to change, when I need to change my thinking in order to get in line with God, in order to get in line with God's kingdom. Amen. Stand with me this morning. This I know, and this I truly believe, that God wants each and every one of us to experience righteousness, to experience peace, and experience joy as we live on this earth, as we walk through the trials of this life. Hold on, brother. I need to get you a battery. And so I want you to think real hard, not about your neighbor. Think about your life. Are you going through a season where you know there's things that are not righteous in your life that you need to change your mind on that thing? Are you going through a season where, you know what, I'm really not experiencing joy? Let me encourage you to come to this altar and ask God to help you change your mind about what's going on in your life. Are you going through a season where maybe there's no peace? God wants you to have peace. Then come to the altar and ask God, God, I need some of that peace. And basically what I'm encouraging you to do is to do what the Bible says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And now repentance, that doesn't always mean, well, I'm this big sinner and now I got to, you know, sometimes maybe it just means I got to change my thinking. Because I want to walk and I want to have the kingdom of God active in my life today. I want righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dan, you had something you want to add?
I want to share, my uncle had joy in his heart. He turned around and where I lived there, we had these, the trailer, and we had these tongues on the front, and he's got cutting torches, he's going to cut them off. And before I come a Christian, I was in the window, my wife and I, and he was out there singing to the Lord, you know, cutting the things off. He had the joy in him. I said, wow, that's really something that I didn't understand too much, but there's something that we wanted is that joy. But I tell you, he didn't care about nothing. He's out there singing to Jesus, doing his work. Just want to share, boy. That's really just something.
Amen. So I'm going to open the altar just for a moment, or as long as it takes. If you've got something where you know that, you know what, my thinking needs to change on this, I want to encourage you to come and just spend a few moments here and ask the Lord to forgive you and to help you to be filled with His righteousness, be filled with His kingdom, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost.